Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast. Today, I have a very special guest, me, Amon-Ra, a visionary principal speaker, author, and catalyst for educational change. Amon, how are you today, sir?
Man, I'm good, bro. I'm good, man. Happy to be here, man.
Yeah, man, good to finally have you, man. I got the big dog in the house, you know what I'm saying? So I'm feeling myself today. I got my incense burning, my water. I'm like, I got to make sure I'm right for this. But yeah, man, so we had a little bit that we talked about, but I just wanted to tell you why I really wanted to have you on this podcast. Seeing your work in education, you starting the school and you just being so innovative with education, like, really stuck with me because I was a smart kid, but I hated school. And that was basically like how school was designed. And seeing how you operate as a principal, you made school fun. You basically said, okay, I'm here to serve the kids. I'm not here to basically be like an authoritative figure saying, okay, hey, do this, do that, sit here, learn, etc. And when I looked at videos of you with the students, I was like, man, that looks like a great time. But then on top of that, your graduation rates, you like the acceptance to a four-year college rates was like phenomenal, bro, especially in the area where you actually educated children at. And I basically like commend you for that, bro, because more than likely, I went to inner city schools. This is definitely not the case. Like, we were in a ditch. And then no suspensions or no fights? What?
Yeah. Man. We was on like people... Like I said, man, people thought we were a private school. They thought we were like a charter school. We Los Angeles Unified School District. We made everybody feel like somebody. Like, that was our motto. Make everybody feel like a somebody. And it was crazy. Man, I grew up in Watson Compton. So it was just like, I was everybody's uncle. I was everybody's big homie. I was everybody pops. I was everybody. Cause I was like, yo, this is what it is. You know what I'm saying? If you don't got pops at home, like at least for the 6 hours you at my school, yo, I'm that, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you got, I'm your aunt. Oh man. You're the big bro of the name. You the OG. So it was like, I'm the king of this castle. I built the school brick by brick. Mm-hmm. So even though it wasn't my school, like per se, when it comes to like ownership of it, make no doubt about it. That's all my intellectual property, right? Mm-hmm. Like the color scheme of the school, the logo of the school, the nickname of the school, the building inside, the infrastructure, like that all was birthed by my head. What people don't know is that LAUSD, Los Angeles Unified School District, hired me and I had 9 months to put the school together.
Oh, wait.
I had to write the mission, the vision, the core values. I couldn't hire my teachers until I was onboarded like in November, December was late. And I had 9 months until the first day of school was in August. Mm-hmm. Feel me? And I had to go, I had to open with 9th and 10th graders. And I needed to open with about 125 kids. Because in California, your money is allocated per kid in the seat, per pupil. Mm. So if I didn't reach that, I was going to lose money allocated for my school. But the problem was this. You typically pick your high school in September, October for the following year. If you're an eighth grader going to ninth grade, you select your school at that time. So most of the kids I had to go and recruit already selected the school. Mm-hmm. I had to get them to say no to their first choice to get them to a school that wasn't even built yet, bro. It wasn't even built yet. It wasn't even put together yet. We didn't have color. Like, my office was in a closet. Like, I ain't had no school. Like, I don't lie to you at all, bro. So I'm out here going door to door, knocking, doing pizza parties, doing pupusas, doing all these different things to get people to be like, yo, I'm a kid from Compton. Like, I'm opening up a high school and I'm trying to build a school I wish I had. What's up? Man, we opened with about right at 127 kids. And then the next year after that, waitlist over 280. Year after that, waitlist. You know what I'm saying? Grew it, scaled it almost up to 400 kids. You know what I'm saying? And boom, 100% grad rate, 100% grad rate, 100% grad rate, 90% accepted to 4 years. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, we had a space that was dope, man. I built a music studio in the school, built a lot of stuff, man, that I just was like, you like it? All right, bet. Our motto was, you got to do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do. So if you want to be in a music studio at the school, come to school on time. Don't be in no mess. Get your grades right. You're going to be able to get that.
Now
And
that's
rocket.
a, yeah. Now that's a, it has to be some type of reward factor besides you just here just to do what you want to do. And that's why, like, I really wasn't into school like that. Like, my grades were okay, but if I'm not interested in something, I'm just like, I don't really. If it's a class, I don't, it's, I'm being forced to learn something that I don't like or that I'm not going to utilize. So I just be like, ah, but if it's something that I like, man, I will go hard. I'll probably get the best grade in the class because it's okay. I'm passionate about it. It's fun. I get to learn and also learn that the way people learn is different as well. It's like everybody has their different methods. For me, I gotta write stuff down, and that's just how I retain information. So it's a good thing that you actually found a balance that could actually motivate kids to learn, that'll push them to learn, because what else do these kids have that could actually make them say, okay, if I go to school, I'm gonna be successful, when every day they're not seeing success from people who went to school. You know what I'm saying? So that's another thing. 'Cause for me, growing up, I was like, okay, I wanna be a businessman. I wanna do this. I wanna do that. But I've never seen anybody doing what I want to do. So it was like a pie in the sky for me.
Oh, and I think what's also critical for us, how you do something to me is just as important as what you do. Because it's like, for me, it was like, I had to do it my way. I had to do it with a Compton hat on and being myself and wearing my sneakers and wearing and being my authentic self. But I also leveraged the fact that I use all the things that were perceived negative about education and use the testing, the district, and the like all these different factors as our adversary. Like we use that. Like I told them, I told my squad, yo, this is a game, y'all. And they don't think that we can win this game. So we went from let's prove them wrong and then now let's prove ourselves. Yeah, look at this test that y'all gotta take in 11th grade, it's some BS. Like it's trying to it really in the grand scheme of things, it don't really matter. But this our opponent. And any opponent, if you at my school, we taking it down. We taking it down. Like, so let's run through a wall for it. Let's run through this wall. And on the process of running through this wall, let's get everything that y'all like to do. Let's have fun doing it though. You know what I'm saying? Like enjoy the journey. And we just built, man, we built something special, bro. It's crazy, man. It's still surreal to this day.
Damn, so that reminds me of the movie Lean On Me. Like, it's like the you have to be interactive. You have to, people love to compete. So if you come up with a competition, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna be like, yeah, no, man, we all in this together. And it's
Correct.
okay, let's all, hey, bro, you study? Come on, bro, you gotta study. We gotta pick this up. We, if you look bad, I look bad. And
Facts.
that's the way it, bro. I would have been, man, that would have drove me wild. I would have been like, hell yeah. Like, we have
No, it
something
was
to fight for, we have something to
wrong.
believe in.
That we took that and was like, and that's how that was the birth for the U, because we called the school the U. So let me tell you, like, any only thing I didn't have to put my IP was the name of the school. So the district was like, the school name is University Pathways Public Service Academy. Long name. When I first sat with them, they pretty much funded me. They put the money in my account, was like, this the name. Good luck. And they was like, oh, the school gonna be called UPSA. The nickname is UPSA, the acronym UPSA. Bro, I'm sitting in there taking mine. I'm like 29, right? I'm 29 at the time. UPSA. Bruh, like we ain't calling it upset. What are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, we call it the U. You know what I
Right.
mean? That's what it is. Took it Miami University, just hijacked that whole name. I said, yo, we the West Coast version of Miami, the Hurricanes, the U. And we just went with that, branded that whole thing. But the thing that was special, bro, was that every kid that came there, they knew that they was part of something special. Or I made them and we made them feel like this is the only place in LA that you're gonna have this type of experience. You don't wanna mess it up.
Yeah.
You don't wanna mess it up. Don't mess it up. So when we got like our first year, zero fights, we celebrated. Like, oh, dog, we can go 2 years in a row without fights at the school, y'all. And the next thing you know, the kids is, y'all, don't listen, man. We had Valencia, Bounty Hunters, Grape Street. Like, we had everybody at the school, from folks from Nutty. Like, it wasn't like we wasn't having altercations. It was, but it was to the point where it was like, hey, y'all, listen, we ain't doing that up here, y'all. Like, y'all already know how we get down at the U. We don't do that here. Now, I'm not gonna say what happened outside the school. Sometimes you gotta get a, some of them had friendly fades. Some of them did that. Like, all right. But here, nah, this was sacred, bro. This was sacred. And that's how the kids took it.
Wow, man, that's amazing, bro. I went to Curtis, the middle school, so that was like a you know about Curtis. It was like every hood in America was there, and it was a fight every day. You know what I mean? Everybody fought at Curtis. You had to be built tough, but yeah, bro. I also went to King Drew for a year in Watts. That's it. But then the only thing at King Drew that made kids like not want to fight is that if you fight, you getting kicked out.
Yeah, it's a magnet. You out of there.
Yeah, but then it was like one of my best friends got kicked out because he fought. But then I was just like, man, what else besides him getting kicked out would make him not want to fight? Because like we don't nobody wanted to be at King Drew like that anyway. It wasn't
Right.
like anything spectacular to make you want to be like, man, I'm gonna stay at this school. I got pride. It was more so this is a brand new school. You wear a uniform every day. It's clean. But when somebody's angry, it's that won't really stop them from thinking twice. It's what do I have to lose?
Right.
I probably got to go to LA Jordan. I probably got to go to Locke. I probably got to do this. And I'm not going to be at a school where the principal is interactive and cool. And we got groups of people. We all supporting each other. And that's what people lack because
Yep.
it's, we all are products of our environment. And then when we go into a place with our environment, the environment is still there, but it's like, what is our haven? We're basically, it's, okay, look, man, we know we're dealing with all of this outside of here, but like you said, this is sacred. And it's just amazing that you created a sacred place like that where it's, man, this is something that where we can't mess this up because this is something good that we got. But then also learn that people in the community, when they have something like that that they deem sacred, it's protected. The energy protects it. Say when Nipsey died, when all those people were at the store, there was like when the police was there, it was commotion. But when the Nation of Islam, the FOI, went there, it was all cool. My auntie was like, Sherman, don't go over there. I know you go Nipsey, man. Da, da, da. I was like, man, please. I still went. Had a
Right.
great time. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? But for my mind, I was like, this is an area where I grew up. I went to high school out here. Like,
Yeah.
I came to the store while Nipsey was alive and
Yeah.
bought things. So I'm like, I'm not gonna be scared now. And then I
Yeah.
went, met people. It was a good thing. But it's I feel like we just gotta stop the stigma of us always like thinking that when we have something good or some peace is gonna happen, it's gonna go bad. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? But
Right.
that's a trained behavior. And
Yeah.
I've had to learn how to get out of it because when people were like, my boy, well, I was at Nipsey's funeral and my boy called me like, man, we on Slauson and Crenshaw, man. It's beautiful out here, all these people out here. I was like, hell no, I ain't going out there.
Right,
Just
right.
because I know that it was tense and they was already fighting at the Staples Center. But then
Right.
I got pushed to go and I was like, okay, if I'm going to be in a Sprinter van, a part of the parade, all right, cool, I'm going to do it. And bro, it
Yeah.
was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life.
Dope, man.
You know what I'm
That's
saying? Seeing people I went to school with. I saw my uncle out there, all of my homies. I was just like, man, I sabotaged this unintentionally because of like some of the things that I went through in the past. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And it's just hearing this, bro, it's the story about your school. It's surreal. And it basically shows us the power of thought. You know what I'm saying?
Man, vision is powerful, bro.
Powerful.
Manifesting it was, I remember telling folks, I'm one of those dreamers that I don't hide my dream. I'm gonna tell you exactly what's in my mind and I'm gonna go do it. If you support it, great. If not, like Kanye said, fast forward. You know what I'm saying? Like you can get past it. But I tell folks, like, this is what I was doing. This is my vision. This is, I'm gonna try to do this. I'm gonna put together this. I'm gonna get the FBI to be part of it. I'm gonna get the law. I'm gonna get a courtroom. We built a courtroom in my school. You know what I'm saying? We
Oh,
built,
wow.
I have 14 3D printers teaching kids like how to print these different things through 3D and architecture. I had the Microsoft HoloLens in 2017, like augmented reality in the school. These were things that I dreamt of. Yeah, we're gonna get this connection and connect the dots. And it was to the point where like kids was just like, bro, I lie to you not, man. Kids who wanted to fight somebody would come to me and be like, oh, I want to beat that person up, Mr. Raw. I want to be like, just bring them in here so we can talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It got to that point. It was crazy. And like people, I even had adults at my school come to me and was like, I ain't never seen nothing like this. You know what I mean? Because they came from schools. It's just your kids is like kids are really trying to solve the problems. I ain't saying it was peaches and cream, but it was just like it was a moment that we sparked into a movement. And I think that's the power of dreaming. But before that though, I used to have some parents come and be like, oh man, that school gonna be ghetto. Or that school gonna be this. Like it was always, you know what I mean? Like that school gonna be this, that school gonna be that. Till they start seeing it and the word of mouth start to get around, then it come back and it's now you can't, it's a wait list now. Like I literally had parents that like, they had opportunity to get in and then they went to some other schools. Oh, that school wasn't working out. Well, we was getting in fights. And can I come to your school? I remember me. They was like, you remember me? I was the one of the people. Yeah, we don't got no room right now for you. You know what I'm saying? I think it's really important too, man. We glorify all the negative things. We don't jump on the support for those who really out here boots to the ground doing their work. And I think if we start having more shifts like that, you'll see more powerful visions manifest.
Yeah, that's definitely true. That's definitely true, man. Because I had a interview with the councilman of Compton, Andre Spicer, and he's just
Yeah, that's
working
my
on
guy,
the.
man.
You sell you what?
I said, that's my guy, man, Andre
Yeah.
Spicer.
Oh yeah, man. Everybody know him, but he was basically talking like he's just
Yeah.
basically trying to change the trajectory of what people think about Compton. And y'all
Yep.
remind me of each other because, like, say I grew up in Carson, which is a mile away. And
Yeah.
some
Yeah.
people, when they think about Compton, I'm like, man, the majority of my friends are from Compton. You know what I'm saying? That's nothing to me. Like I grew up in Carson, like it's a mile away. But I was just like, man, there's so many
Right.
good families. There's so many like good people from there. But I guess since the NWA and all that came out, it's like we want to hold on to this image so bad because this is what got our name on the map.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think I tell folks, man, we got to continue to build. We got to build institutions. We have to build companies.
Yeah.
Because this is the thing, man, and this is what got me to where I'm at now was that okay, I'm doing all this through education, right? Hypothetically, not even hypothetical. My students were graduating and they're getting all this love from my high school. But then most of my students will graduate and go to a PWI out here, Cal State, and then they're now thrown to the wolves, right? They're like, damn, I'm in this place that I don't see myself like that. Like, where is it? Wait, what's going on? Then I'm in massive, then I get into student loan debt. I wasn't really exposed to high paying jobs. And then when I, and then if I go and get all the education, I'm pretty much going to work for a company that is probably going to force me to be something else. So
Yeah.
I'm getting from Principal Raw, like at his school, I could be my authentic self and still learn. I could walk and be that. And I could do all this and have good grades. And then when I get to college, I'll push through, but then I still have to go at the end of the rainbow to work at a company that will not accept my cultural identity or my cultural norms. So I was like, man, damn, we need to create more companies that, yo, that's cool. The company I started now is, yo, be your authentic self. I'm pretty much creating the same culture that I did at my high school before for my startup technology company. It's we need more places for Black technologists, urban technologists, robotics and STEM to be their authentic self in these spaces, right? Because that was one of my things was I was great. I was always great at math. Like I taught all the way up to secondary mathematics. And the reason why I wasn't really like doing well in math at school was because I didn't see how math connected to like careers that I wanted to get into because I didn't see nobody like me, talk like me, be like me in spaces. So I was like, nah, that I ain't trying to be like corny. You know what I mean? Like, for me to be a mechanical engineer, when I see somebody, I'm like, oh, I gotta be corny to do that? Nah,
right.
I think I'm straight. Like I see somebody else, oh, I gotta be like Clarence. Ah, nah, I'm good. I'm straight. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, let's redefine that. Similar to my boy Spicer, a council member. Oh man, I could be a council member and have my hat backwards, have locks, and still be like respected in the streets. I didn't even know you could do that. It's redefining what it means to be a council member. It's redefining what it means to be a principal or a tech founder. You know what I mean? I think that's the mission within the mission.
Yeah, bro, that's honestly like one of my missions, to be all the way real, bro. Because it's like, I just got tired of it, bro. It's, man, I like tattoos. I like art. I always wanted to have long hair. And then I was like, you know what, man? I don't care. I'm just about to grow my hair. I have braids. Now I got locks. Then it's, oh, how are you going to get? I don't care. And one powerful thing that my friend told me that always resonated with me, right, is if you see a white person trying to be black, you can sense that they're trying to be black and you know that they're not that. Don't you think that they think they know when you're trying to be like them?
Right.
And how that looks even cornier than you like not being your authentic self. And I was like, damn. Because the way I talk, like the way both of us talk, they're like, we could sound proper, but at the end of the day, we still gonna sound like black men. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because like
and
we talk
the thing, and that's the thing too, is just, man, it's deep, bro. It's deep because I was in UCLA. So I'll tell you this. I remember, man, like I was in my principalship. I'm speaking to thousands. I'm like, my trajectory in education is starting to go up and everything. Folks, man, but Brother Raw, man, you got to go get your doctorate. You got to get your doctorate so they can respect you. They can, your work is great. They got to respect you. I'm like, yeah. And I drunk the juice. I was like, all right, let me go get my doctorate. Let me apply for UCLA. Got up in there. Up in the class, I'm the only accomplished school leader in the cohort. Everybody else is, no, he's a teacher, psychologist. None of them school leaders like that. Then one of the professors never was a principal. I'm like, yo, I'm about to sit here and get like $60,000, $70,000 in more debt so they can respect me? I'm good. I already felt like I had to turn into speaking prop. No, you know what? How I speak is proper. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. How I speak is properly set in the norms in which the audience and who I'm reaching connect with. No, and your audience, it doesn't say that you're like, your audience is for that too. And the diversity of thought comes with the diversity of vernacular, right?
Right.
And I'm not, so like, I always push folks like, nah, man, I'm not about to, I'd rather go do the work. Like, I really, like, for me, I'm not knocking on anybody that pursued a doctorate, but you got to have something that's really personal that makes that. But for me, it was like, I'm here for them. Nah, I need to, if I'm going to be there, I need to be there for me. And my calling was, nah, I need to be here for kids, educators, and communities that can, that's willing to accept my message and my mission. That's more valuable than that piece of paper and that doctorate from UCLA to try to give me my approval. Nah, I bet the community gonna approve me.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, both of you are right though. I'm sure we both know that, but then your reasons, like, I feel you, but then it was like, sometimes the game is a game, but then I feel like your resume and your work, you being a public person, speaks for itself. Whereas I'm getting education through this. If you look up Principal Amin-Ra, you're going to see all kind of stuff. So it's like, why would I even deal with that? You know what I'm saying? But then it's like, for somebody like the people that were in the class, for the level that they're at, that'll work for them. But you got field experience.
Yeah. And my always been my push is, if I'm trying to go become a professor, y'all go get that. Because it's something that you need as a requirement for that. I'm trying to do, it ain't required. That's not my calling for that. Like, bro, I ain't knocking nobody. Bro, there's a lot of ineffective doctorates, bro.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people with doctorates that are not out here booming.
Right.
For me to say, you know, like, you got to have that to be successful or for you to get respect, bro, there's a lot of doctors that can't do what I do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not here to demean the work, but I'm just saying, like, you got to really be like, I'm out here. I'm in this phase of my life, man. I'll be honest. Yo, we need results. We need bigger companies. We need infrastructure. Ain't no doctor coming to save us. We need companies. We need buildings. We need institutions. If they ain't on that type of time, then you can save all that for me, bro.
Yeah, because that just prepares you to
Like,
go into the workforce. It's like people graduate with business administration degrees and don't start a business. They do that just so they could administer somebody else's business. But they're afraid to make that leap. And that's why leading by example and showing people, like, hey, I look like you and I'm doing this is so important. Because telling them all of that stuff is cool. But if they don't see you moving in action, then that's have a different aspect. You know what I mean?
and I
That's
will say this too. I will say this, not to cut you off, but I don't want the community or people, the audience, to say, don't get it confused that I'm saying that you don't need education. The best form of education that I firmly believe is self-education. Like the pursuit of education. Yo, you need somebody to understand business administration, right, on your team. You need somebody to understand and go to school and understand accounting. You need somebody to understand marketing. There's multiple pathways to that, right? My whole thing is, what is your mission? And is that mission aligned first? And are you aware of that? So I was not mission aligned for my pursuit of a doctorate. Other people's pursuit may be strict, like it's alignment and it makes sense. You know what I'm saying? But no matter if it's aligned or misaligned, you gotta have self-education. I taught myself how to code. I don't have a computer science degree. But the pursuit was through artificial intelligence, YouTube University, and pretty much teaching myself these skills. For somebody to come here and say, like, would it have been better or more improved coder if I would have went to school and majored in computer science? Possibly. But I think there's something to be said that I still did it without it, right? Like I can pull up SQL right now and create. I can pull up Java right now and create. Still working on my Python like type stuff, but like I can pull up some program languages and create without no computer science degree. So like my whole thing is, if that's an obstacle for you, there's other ways and alternatives for you to get the information, the education to get you to the results. You know what I mean? That's at least where I'm at.
Yeah, no, that and you're exactly right. I remember I wrote something up. I'm in the case, and I sent what I sent to the respondent or whatever, to the attorney, and they were like, "Did you ever study law? How did you go?" I was like, "Yeah, I did, but I've been researching so much and learning on my own so much throughout the past couple of years. It's like I know how to do it." And they were amazed, and then I was like, "Sheesh, man, I probably should have went to law school after I learned that they were charging hundreds of thousands for attorney fees." I was like, damn. But then it's like, you need a license to do that. So that's a little different, man. But like you said, if you need a license to do things, then it's okay, cool. Like, I definitely believe in going to school to get a license so you can
Correct.
perform. You know what I'm
Correct.
saying? Like, then if you're going to be in like accounting, coding, that's almost going to be irrelevant as long as you know how to do the job and you have the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? But if you want to be a medical doctor or
Gotta
like
go
an
get that. You gotta go
engineer, you
get
know
that.
what
Yeah.
I'm saying? Like
Gotta go
stuff
get that.
like that. Like, say if my kid was like, "Hey, daddy, I'm gonna go to Howard University and I'm gonna major in sociology." I'm gonna be like, "There's no way I'm paying for that."
You know
Nah,
what I mean?
hell
Like,
no. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you
for what? Nah,
know,
you gonna major in engineering, pre-med, you know what I'm saying? And if you major in psychology, you have to get your doctorate. So it's like
facts.
some things are worth it, but then you definitely have to gauge it just depending on you. Like for you to have your law degree, that makes sense. If you're going to be an attorney and help serve people, like you need to know certain things. You know what I'm
Right.
saying? Because I know people like I got a homeboy, he learned how to code in jail. And
Yep.
now he's working for big companies. And I'm like, "You never been to college or nothing?" "Nah, bro. When I was in jail, I just had this book and I learned how to do it. And here I am." Matter of fact, our
Yeah.
friend Ashley Austin, he codes.
That's
He's a
dope. That's
he's a software engineer. You know what I'm
dope.
saying? So yeah, man, it definitely, but he learned on his own and he made it happen.
Man, that's dope, man. And that's the thing, man, is that Your journey is going to be your journey, and you got to focus on what you want to do. And now with new technology and cutting edge tools, the language is going to be, there's not going to be an excuse.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay. When it comes to your dreams, there are tools out here now that if you could, like I tell people, I used to tell my kids, if you can see it, you can dream it. If you can dream it, you can build it. And if you can build it, it's possible. So literally, all you have to be able to do is see it and close your eyes and see your dream. Now build it. And I know it sounds simple, but like it's literally, it is that. If you could see every nuance of the step of your dream, now it's just take action. But the hardest part is the fear and not executing or not being able to see it fully. They can see the destination, but they don't see the road. Most people want to see the sunset, but they don't see, damn, I got to walk over these rocks. It's going to be muddy over here. Like, and I always tell people, man, like, you can't be afraid to. People always want to claim the story, man, I'm getting it out the mud. But folks will say they want to get out the mud, but they're afraid to get dirty. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, you got to get up in there and be okay with getting dirty to get to that dream. You
Yeah,
know?
or I did it all on my own. Hell no, I'll ask for help anytime. Trust me. I feel like those mentalities keep you stagnant more than not. It's like you want to make it harder on yourself. I'm like, hell no. Hey, can you help me? Like, where's the resource? Like, sometimes God just be throwing you a bone and you turning it down because your ego wants to say, I did it on my own, or I got it out the mud. Man, please. You know what I'm saying?
And like what Jay-Z said, man, hopes is like what? More people are cool with owning 100% of nothing than 20% of something. And for example, like my tech startup, like I don't own 100% of my tech startup. I've sold stock already. I've sold shares of my company, right? We got investment from a venture capital fund. I have some other investors. I gave equity to some of my employees because in order to get to where we're going, you should own a piece of the pie. You know what I mean? And but what I'm finding is, man, we still got a lot of work to do when it comes to just education around like cap tables, shares, equity, liquidity events, understanding that. Because everybody is still, I would rather work for myself and versus going and learning and growing and scaling a company to be big and being part of that and then going to work for somebody else. Think about it. Most of the dope tech startups, like people went to go work for somebody else first and then they took the learning and then started their own stuff. I'm saying? And it's going to take that. It's going to take being part of a team. Versus everybody want to be on the solo too.
Yeah, and creating the team. Like I tell people all the day, hey man, if you want to figure out a plan where we could work together, I'll give you a equity of my company without a problem. Heck, you taking time away from me, and you're bringing more value than I would bring if I was by myself. But a lot of people just don't understand that, and I often preach that, especially to like the Black community. I'm like, man, if you started this business, you got all these homeboys. Why don't y'all get together, figure it out, have everything written on paper, come up with an agreement. You know what I'm saying? Make sure everybody knows what they're gonna get, have the roles written down, all of that. You can't even work for Jack in the Box without a contract. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So it's treat your company the same exact way, but then it just goes ignored and then things implode. Or they want to just say, man, we all in this together, but you're the CEO. Everything is in your name. And you're just trying to make people feel good like they're a part of something. Okay, this isn't going to work.
And since have you ever heard of this paradigm, this philosophy? It's called to be is to have, right? And the concept is you have to be something before you can have it. So you want to have a $1 billion company. You need to start being a $1 billion company before you have the $1 billion value, right? So you got to start operating as a billionaire CEO before you touch the $1 billion, right? You got to start operating as that B. Like, for example, when I was a coordinator, before I was a principal, I remember I was like, it clicked. I was like, yo, I'm about to start acting like a principal right now. So when I was walking around campus, I was at Markham Middle School. Like, I started teaching at Markham Middle School, right in the belly of Watts. And I'm like, all right, if I was principal, what would I be doing right now? Oh, I'm seeing trash on the floor, man. I'm picking it up, throwing it away. Like, I'm already in that mindset of principalship. Not saying that I was overstepping, but I was like already starting to be principal in my spirit. So then when I became a principal, it was like, oh, this light work. Before I was a principal, I was already a principal for 3 years in my head. Getting up, I'm there early. So when I was a coordinator at Markham, I was in front of the school. The principal was in front of the school. I was over the culture, but I was giving everybody handshakes before they came in. I wasn't like, that wasn't in my job description, but I was just like, if I was doing it, boom. So when I became a principal, yo, I just kept that same practice. And people used to drive and see, man, who's this black guy in front of the school every day, rains, like everything, just greeting my kids. Light work. So when you start putting yourself in that mindset, when it comes, it's easy. It's hard to, but versus the reverse, bro. If you wait to become a principal to start being a principal, it's much harder.
Yeah.
It's much harder. Because now you feel like you got to turn it on. Nah, I should have been turned on already, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
That's what I learned in sales. They call that act as if, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I said that on a podcast. I was like, what will the millionaire you be doing today? Like right now at this moment, they probably wouldn't be binge watching shows. They wouldn't be doing this. They wouldn't be talking to people about nothing. So you have to think, like you mentioned earlier, a vision. What is your vision? Okay, what if I'm at that vision, what will I be doing?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? What kind of discipline will I have? And I feel like I've always had that. And that's probably one of the reasons why people be like, damn, man, you started that and you just going. It's because I put so much time into meditating myself being and acting. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, say when I'm not doing the podcast, I'm probably like a little bit more reserved, relaxed, chill. But when I'm doing this, I'm a totally different person. When I'm at the gym, I'm a totally different person. You know what I'm saying? I'm not friendly. I don't want to talk. I'm like locked in. I'm in a totally different type of zone. When I'm a father, I'm a totally different person.
Yeah.
No, I don't even talk the same. I'm like, man, if my friends see how I deal with my kids, they'll probably be like, who is that?
Right,
You know?
right, right.
Because I'm conditioning their mind to be something different. Like, I don't use slang. I don't talk like how I'm talking with the homies. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Man, it's part of this journey, man. It's a beautiful journey we're on, man, as fathers, as sons, as entrepreneurs, you know what I'm saying? It's a beautiful time, man, to be honest. It's a beautiful time on what we're doing.
Yeah, definitely, man.
And thought you, I had.
You got big shoes to fill, man. I've been heard about your pops, Dr. Amon-Ra, Long Beach State. My dad went to Long Beach State. He was a part of the Black Student Union. I'm not sure how long he was there, but he might have been there at the same time your dad was there.
More than likely, man, my pops was there for 34 years, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
From I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was like 68 to 2003 or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Now, I'm sure if I mentioned your dad's name, my dad would be like, no, my dad's super popular in L.A., man. He actually is a retired educator from the LAUSD. And, like, I feel for educators because it's like he wanted to create his own school and do things differently for his community. And I'm like watching you and I'm like, damn, this guy is a young guy living the dreams that my father had as an educator. Because if you're an educator and you are passionate and it's your community and you want to uplift people, I want to one day do it the way I want to do it and how I see it being done. Yeah. And some of my pops too, I went to the same school that he taught at. And some of his students will be like, man, your dad changed my life, man. If it wasn't for your dad's the reason this, your dad is that. And so when I'm in South Central, people be like, oh, I'm like, bro, I'm like royalty there. Do you know who my daddy is? Ain't nobody gonna mess with me just off of the respect that they have for my pops.
Right.
Like, if I say my pop's name, people like, what? That's your daddy? Oh, cuz, woo, woo, woo. You know what I'm saying? And it's all love because he taught at Gompers and then he went to Crenshaw. So he was in the heart of South Central. You know what I'm saying? Then like me having a rare last name, but it's powerful, man. I'm sure you got a lot of pressure on you being your daddy's son.
Yeah, man. I'm the youngest of my father's children, but I bear the same name. So I got the same name. So growing up, Professor Amon-Ra, Councilman Ra, Board Trustee Ra, because he was a professor at Long Beach State and Compton Community College.
Oh, wow.
Right. So and he was professor at both of those schools and a councilman all at the same time.
Damn.
And so Like my pops was the person that was up at 5 in the morning and didn't come home till 10 o'clock at night. That was the type of work he was putting in, you know what I'm saying? Because at Long Beach State, he was teaching night classes. And so it was one of them. And then I'm growing up, and people know, oh, you're raw in Compton? Oh, you're raw? It comes with a level of it's just like a different level of expectations. You got this spotlight, you got this, or this perception of a spotlight of, yo, you got to be excellent, you got to do this. And it was like, nah, I ain't trying to do none of that. You know what I'm saying? Like I was on that type of time. Yeah, that's that, y'all on that other stuff, because it was all I seen was like old heads. Your father is, yeah, okay, but we here. If it's so great, why we still trying to figure this out? Nah, I bet. But yeah, no, nah, man, I've come to realize how much respect and how many doors were open because of my father. There was doors that was open that I wasn't even aware of because of the work and the seeds that my father had put down. Like my father, his form of reparations was getting black people college degrees. And he was like, yo, you come here, you're gonna learn, you're gonna get this education. But my number one goal is to get you to get that degree. You know what I'm saying? I still to this day, man, it's not a day that I go and speak somewhere where somebody will come and be like, Joe, your father changed my life. Your father helped me. If it wasn't, or better yet, they said, if it wasn't for your father, I wouldn't have got a degree. I remember one time, man, my pops, shout out to my pops. I don't know what he was thinking, man, but I seen him speak. He he took us to Chino Prison and he spoke out there and to a prison of inmates, man. And I was probably like maybe 12. I was just like, yo, what the hell? Oh yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm like, yo, I at that time I'm like, yo, they allowed me. Like I'm thinking as a adult, how they allow me in that space? You know what I'm saying? Like it was wild. Come to find, it's just, dude, he's just a powerful figure, man. It's surreal, and to be able to fulfill even some of my pop's childhood dreams, like he wanted to be a principal, but it's still something that's really cool, man. That I don't take for granted.
Oh, that's amazing, man. It's like the legacy, you know what I'm saying, that you have to continue when you have a pops that's prominent in the community. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people, man, I went to the Crenshaw reunion last year, and the girl like, yo, daddy let you out. I'm like, damn, what? Like, girl, we grown now. It's been 20
Right,
years. But it was like he's still like at the front of everybody's minds. You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's just, damn, man, you really can't slip. You know what I'm saying? But it's not that it's like a lot of pressure. It actually is a good thing because it keeps you in check. You know what I'm saying? But then I feel where you coming from, because my dad majored in electrical engineering and he got his master's. And the way we were living with the teacher salary, it wasn't great. And I'm like, bro, you could have been in engineering making double almost. What's the deal? You know what I'm saying? But now that I'm older, I'm looking at it like, oh, he was trying to live a purpose-filled life. I'm saying, and impactful life, and that basically brought him more satisfaction and joy than the money. You know what I'm saying? But then it's like, for you combined all of that, man. I want to get this money, but I also want to be living a purpose-filled life. So I'm gonna figure out the resources on how to do it and still live abundantly. Because trust me, I'm on that same type of time. I have a podcast. I talk to people, counsel people, stuff like that. But it's, man, I still want to live abundant, and it's possible. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to be poor, righteous teachers. You know what I'm saying? You know what that is, right? I'm sure you
Yeah,
do.
man. And you got to think, even with my even, and that's where I feel like at least my pops in that generation, or at least my pops per se, didn't really understand the business. It felt like it had to be binary. I either got to do social impact and be that poor righteous teacher, or I got to sell my soul to capitalism. Like it was like no, like those are the two options type of
Nah,
thing,
yeah,
right?
there wasn't no in between,
It
bro.
wasn't no in between. I'm like, and I'm like, wait, hold on. It is, right? Like you can have social impact and still be like, you know what? It's a business to this at the same time. Like some of your favorite scholars made their money off of selling books. You know what I mean? Like this is, and some of your favorite scholars charging $20,000 for a keynote speech. So you can still have both, and both can coexist. So that's what I parlayed my career into, right? Is being like a social impact entrepreneur, right? Of of building companies that make deep impact in our communities and build legacy institutions and corporations and businesses, but also scaling companies and organizations to being profitable, because I got kids too. Like, I want to leave legacy to them. You know what I'm saying? I want them to be able to understand that their dreams can come true too, and you can have both. Like, why not? They tell you in school, you can do anything you put your mind to. And then when you come up and put your mind to it, they're like, no, you can't do that. Nah, what are you talking about? Like, I can do
I tell
it.
people all the time, this man, 15 years ago, if you would have told me I'll be talking to somebody through a video on a phone this big, through all you must be
Never.
crazy. What?
Never.
Yeah, that would, bro, in high school, if you would have told us the stuff that we're doing now, we'd have been like, man, hell no. Like,
Never.
what? Because phones
Never.
only text, played Snake, and called. You know what I'm saying? It was nothing else. Now people are running companies off of their cell phone, multi-million dollar companies on a cell phone, bro. So I'm just like, you really could, it's limitless. You see it. You know what I'm
That's it.
saying? And the device that you hold in your hand was a thought before that
That's it.
materialized.
That's it.
You know what I'm
That's it.
saying? It's,
And
yeah,
if we
bro, even
apply
crypto.
ourselves more into that, and that's what I'm saying is that we got to have more products. We got to have more visions. We got to have more scalable companies globally. We got to build big companies to be reinvested back into our community. Like that's the type of time I'm on, right? Because I'm tired, honestly, bro, I'm tired of knocking on other people's door to try to get resources that we know that our communities need. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired on hoping that they give you a little bit of bread and you got to be the little engine that could. You know what I'm saying? We always got to do more with less. And it's like, all right, let me do more with less and build a big company on the plug.
Man, bro, I'm all the way with you, bro. 'Cause like I often, my uncle always said, Booker T. Washington said, drop your buckets where you at. You know what I'm saying? I started to, 'cause we always think about roadblocks, but I'm more so, what? Like, you already have everything that you need at your disposal. You just gotta perform. You know what I'm saying? Stop thinking that you need this, you need all of these different things. Just perform, bro. That's the only thing that's required. And when I shift my mindset to that, everything just started rolling. You know what I'm saying? Like, we think that we got to start phenomenal. Oh, I need a, if I'm doing a podcast, I need a studio and I need this and I need that and I need. I was like, look, man, I didn't even edit my podcast before. I was just like, all right, cool. I'm gonna take your picture, put it on Canva, post it up. Cool. But as I went, I started learning more things that I could utilize. Okay, now I'm about to use this. Okay, oh, this came. Now I'm gonna do this. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
Like, things will come as you go to help you, or somebody will give you a suggestion. Hey, man, I watched it, bro. You probably should use this program to help you edit. You know what I'm saying? Do you use that? That could probably help you. And you could get nuggets and gems as you go, as long as you are working. You know what I'm saying?
And it's like when you think about it, and this is why I guess this is what made me unique as a teacher, because I also taught science, like I was math and science, was that that's the intersection of science and entrepreneurship, right? And it's like everything that we're doing is, if you really break it down, like the methodology is like the scientific method, right? But you gotta go, if you go through the scientific method, like you gotta go, you're like you gotta go through the process, right? And then like you through the process, you start to be like, all right, you may have this hypothesis, like I'm about to start this podcast. I think it's gonna go well. I think I'm gonna get this, and oh, but what I found out is I can improve it by doing this, right? And I found out, so you're doing these micro methods as you go. My conclusion is that, okay, I need to add more to this. I need to make my process for editing faster. So I need to use AI to make that back. Or I need to get Canva and do that. Like, I need a brand, I need a logo. You know what I'm saying? So you start to get these micro conclusions, but it always happens. And you're just iterating, iterating, iterating. But if you never start, you never know what you need to iterate.
No, that's true though. Yeah, now that you break it down like that, because it's funny, because I told somebody, like, when I was in high school, I scored super high for science, and it was like, you could be a doctor. And I was like, hell no, I don't want to be no doctor. But now I could see that I'm like implementing science to business, because any scientist had to do trial and error over and over and over and
Correct.
over and over. Then it works. You know what I'm saying? But
Correct.
I call myself a creative entrepreneur. To be creative, you got to involve science as well. And I'm just like, maybe I'm just looking at business differently than like how I do it. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay how I do it, because this is how it's been done. But it's like, when we fit ourselves in a box, that's all businessman is an a-hole and he turns people around and he all that other stuff. It's nah, a businessman is really a super creative person that has ideas that brings them to fruition that could possibly help the world. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. And solving a big problem. And that's when that's the biggest entrepreneurs are solving some of the biggest problems. Or they're creating an illusion that they're solving the biggest problems, right? And overall, it's, to me, at least from my stage, it's all science. It's all just trial and error. And the quicker you can get to those trials to correct those errors, the better you'll be. You know what I mean? Like those who are the best entrepreneurs can see the error and correct it quickly and then go to the next level and do the same thing. And that's literally what it is. So like in my trajectory is like, all right, I learned the principalship. I know everything about that. Now I'm in entrepreneurship that now principals are my clients. Now I got that. Like now I want to make superintendents my clients. That now I'm learning on the other side, like how to raise venture capital. And then I just have to learn the game. Oh, this is sales. It's just a different, now I'm selling my company. My company is the product.
Right.
So I got a story. Oh, that didn't work. Let me iterate. What am I missing? Oh, they didn't like the fact that I said crypto on my pitch. Okay, how do I make that sense? Oh, they didn't like the fact that, okay, let me see that. Oh, all right. I'm iterating.
Bro, that does not stop.
You know what I'm saying?
Bro, I was up till 1 o'clock last night. Oh man, I got to do this on my website. Maybe I should change this. Maybe I should do this. If I want to attract people that is of this clientele, I need to make sure I'm presenting this, that. And I'm just like, it's like a nonstop process, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I changed my website like 4 times. If I see a problem, I'm like, okay, maybe I need to tweak it. Every time somebody gives me a suggestion, damn, that's true. All right, cool. I'm gonna tweak it. You know what I'm saying?
But I say this too. It's also about knowing what you want to attack. Timing too, right? There's some problems that's, yo, I'm not worried about that bucket right now. I know that's a problem, but I don't have the energy or the capacity to focus on that because my main bucket, I'm still focused on. I'll give you an example. Like our technology platform, we focus on addressing chronic absenteeism right now. Mm-hmm. That's our focus, is to re-engage kids. There's people that come to me and be like, yo, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do some esports for us? Can we do some coding right now? All these different things. It was like, yeah, we can do that, but I'm really focused on this right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get there. And sometimes like when you become like really like lean and linear, I would say linear on that, hey, this is what we're good at. This is what I can handle. Then you can start putting, I'm not saying it's you're neglecting it, you're just putting that in a bucket where it's like, I'm gonna come back to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, get that because I gotta make sure this is right because that don't fit into what we're working on right now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Man, this has been a delightful conversation, bro. Yeah. I could actually, we gotta do a couple more hours, man, for sure. So for many gems, man.
This won't be the last time, man. This won't be the last time, bro.
Likewise, man. I feel the same way, bro. But yeah, man. So where can people find you if they want to reach you?
Yeah, man. I would say this. Principal Raw. Our principal, like high school principal, RAHH. That's 2 H's on all platforms. LinkedIn, Instagram is I'm more on Instagram, actively on Instagram and LinkedIn than any other platform. So if you want to reach me there, you can get at me there. And what I ask people is to support the mission that we're on with Knowledge, man. Knowledge is a learn-to-earn platform that is empowering kids to fund their future through digital entrepreneurship, financial literacy, and computer science. And we allow them to earn stocks, money, assets like that, that they can get upon graduation. Think of it like a 529 plan that is earned from kindergarten to 12th just for doing well in school and learning career pathways.
Oh, man, I'm going to sign my daughter up for that.
Yeah, man.
So any kid could do anywhere. They could join.
Right now, we only with schools that sign up. We go with schools. So if their school is one that can sign up, but probably within the next year or so, we'll be doing direct to consumer.
Okay, cool. Let me know, brother. Again, man, thank you so much, man. Have a great rest of your day, bro. And I'm going to catch up with you soon.
I appreciate you, bro.
No doubt.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com.